Good morning, Oshkosh. Fast Eddie flying solo this morning. Digital Dave has a mission. So I'm going to be filling the pilot seat for a little bit till my brother gets back. And I'm trying to figure out which knob to turn. But with us today, we have Dave Holmes. I know everybody's looking forward to Vic Krause, but he's not here. He's abusing somebody else this morning. So with us today, we have Dave Holmes here from Warbird Alley. Everybody loves Warbird Alley. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. For 10 years, I've been known as the guy that replaces Vic Krause. It's impossible. He can't replace Vic. He's irreplaceable.
He is, and that man is a ball of fire. You're a little more subdued.
So he gets me for this gig at 8 o'clock in the morning. I said, Ed, you're asking me to be here at 8 o'clock in the morning for the radio?
Well, you
here
know,
I am.
Here you are.
Coffee
yeah,
in hand.
Exactly. And, you know, this is half the fun of the job is getting up early in the morning. But I have to tell you, I'm retired now. So I, you know, getting up here at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm sleeping in. I used to get up at 4:30.
You're totally sleeping in because the guys that are on the photo shoots in the Warbird area right now, they're launching their T6s at, you know, at sunlight because that's when the best light is for
yep.
the photographers.
The Dawn Patrol saw four Mustangs go over
there
this
morning. There you go. Guess what they're doing? They're making calendars for next year.
And, you know, the sweet thing about that is there is no more beautiful alarm clock than four P-51s.
Once I was there for an Avro Lancaster, which is four P-51s in very close formation.
Very close formation.
Yeah, so that's a cool noise.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's only, what, two of them still in existence?
Honestly, since they had the accident and one of them burned, I don't know the actual number, but we had one here, I guess it was 7 or 8 years ago.
Probably from Canadian warplane.
It was Canadian one, right.
Yeah.
I remember touching the inside and the wood panel. The wood had the patina of an antique desk, and it was the floor that they walked on.
Wow.
It was like, you know, this. When I talk about Warbirds, the thing is they're basically flying pieces of art.
Yes, they are.
They're just, and we're merely caretakers of those pieces of art. As we pass through time, they're still here. I just hope they're here 50 years from now when I'm not.
Well, I'm hoping they'll be flying in 50 years. They'll still be here.
We've got a really good crew of young and upcoming people on the board of directors in the Warbird area to keep the, you know, the guys that are not, literally in their 20s who have the vision. And I've been coming here since 96, and so it's really encouraging to see young people who are energetic, qualified, have a vision for the future. And I think there's great possibility that we'll keep these airplanes flying for another 50 years.
The thing that impresses me about the Warbird area is the variety of aircraft and the multiples. You know, you go down to Warbird Alley, you'll see a dozen P-51s.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also bringing in aircraft now from other eras as well. I've seen stuff from Korea, and there's stuff here from Vietnam.
Oh, yeah. The Huey arrivals yesterday was amazing.
Yep.
If you're a Vietnam-era guy and you hear the sound of life coming to pull you out of a field, that's an emotional thing for a lot of Vietnam vets to see the Hueys arrive. It was a cool deal yesterday.
Yeah, well, the air cavalry, they yep. relied heavily on the Huey.
Absolutely.
And that thing could take quite a beating, too.
Yeah, it's really cool that there are people that put the time, the money, the effort, the love into keeping the airframes flying because they're complex airplanes. You know, they've got a lot going on, and you have to be willing to do whatever it takes to keep them flying. So that's really the mission of the Warbirds, is just to keep them flying.
And that is a formidable task these mm-hmm. days, because parts for a lot of stuff is non-existent anymore, and you have to manufacture a
right.
lot
you
of
get
stuff.
Skilled people that are machinists that know how to make parts.
It's, you know, I've always said that the biggest problem that the Warbirds are going to face are politicians, lawyers, and fuel.
Okay, well, if that's what we're going to talk about now, I'm out. I don't want to talk politics.
No.
Just we're done.
No. But
I come here to get away from it. Honestly, the truth is, without undercutting your comment there, we've got to have fuel to fly. We have to have a regulatory environment that allows not only the flying but the training to fly. As over time, it's gotten much more complicated. Just getting an individual who is able and qualified to teach someone how to fly or to give a check ride. So that whole process has gotten a lot more complicated than it was in the 70s and 80s. And obviously it's due to safety. But there has to be a lot, there has to be common sense involved to allow the people that actually know how to do these things to let them do it. The fellow that I bunk with, he's a director, Ed Finnegan, who's a P-51 qualified. He's a T-6 guy. But he is the only guy in America that is qualified to check you out in the OV-1 Mohawk.
Nice.
He's the only guy.
He's it.
So if y'all are out there listening, have an OV-1 Mohawk and you want to fly it, I know the man. He's my bunkie. Yeah, my trailer.
There you go. He's a good guy to know if you have a Mohawk or I'm sorry, it's a Bronco. I always confuse.
No. The OV-10 Bronco.
Yeah. See, which, there it is.
Right.
So I did it again.
That's okay. Different. Grumman made the OV-1 Mohawk, and North American made the Pony.
That's right.
Yeah. So
that's right. Both of them were good aircraft for their purposes.
Fantastic airplanes, and again, very complex airplanes with expensive engines that you have to take care of. But there are people out there, and I hope to see an OV-1 Mohawk on the field here again someday.
I would like to see that too. Yeah. And that's one of the other great things about the Warbirds area. They bring the rarest of the rare. You guys have not one, but two 109s here. It's rare to see one, but two flying examples?
Yeah, and I don't know those guys. I saw them taxi in. What impressed me with that, when I saw the 109 taxi in, I thought, man, it's tiny. It's a small little airplane.
It is. It's very small.
It's you set that up against a Thunderbolt or a Mustang, and just the intimidation factor just seems huge. But it's cool that they're here. I really don't know anything about the airplanes except that they look and sound authentic.
And that's the great part. Yeah. That's one thing that I've heard a lot of Warbird fans say is they love to hear the sound of the engines. It gives the airplane a character.
Well, the short stacks, unmuffled, and the props. I'm walking over here to get my coffee, and the Aeroshell team takes off, and they're flying standard stock T-6s. And those big, long props, when they set 36 inches of power and the proper RPM, the tips go supersonic, and that makes that brap sound when they take off. And everybody in the cafe, they're eating their bagels and their sandwiches and drinking their coffee, and every eye turns to the east, and they watch those T-6s take off, and they've been called by the sound.
Yep.
It is
a distinct sound, and that's the beauty of it, because a lot of airplanes you can recognize just by the sound of the engine.
Absolutely.
The B-25 that's been flying rides over here.
Right.
You can always hear that thing, because it just kind of clatters through the sky.
Right, right.
And I imagine those people on board are ear-to-ear smiling.
They are, and they've got earplugs in, too.
Oh, you need them.
Yep.
You really do, because a friend of mine told me you can tell, you know, which position the pilot or co-pilot was in a B-25 by which ear they could still use. Yeah. So.
Yeah. We had some friends last year that I still have a picture of them. They were part of the reenactor group, and they got in their reenactor garb and kit or whatever they call the, you know, being in to portray the era of World War II, and they went on a B-25 ride last year. And I have the picture of them, and they're all sitting there with their... You can't, their faces aren't big enough for the smiles. The smiles are just beyond the face. So it's a cool deal.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
The thing about the Warbirds, once again, is just how many of them. Now, we have a camera. Well, actually, we have a flat screen here that's tied into all of the cameras here. And the Warbird area that I'm looking at right now, it's over your right shoulder.
I saw it.
Is jammed with airplanes. And I mean... It's just
and
unbelievable.
It was empty on Saturday.
It was empty yesterday.
Yeah. So, they do the mass arrivals. A lot of times the T-6 guys, the different types, T-34s, T-28s, they will do their formation training, and they'll get things brushed up and ready to go for the show here. Because, you know, the primary mission of the show here is to be safe, to show the airplanes to be safe. So there's a lot of practice, a lot of pre-flight planning, a lot of briefing. So that stuff all happens before they arrive. And then they arrive, and then they sit there, and we all get to visit them. So obviously, we hope that the Warbird area is the most popular area in the field. We hope, I think we know that to be true, actually. But we invite people to come down. Sometimes people are a little nervous about approaching the Warbirds because they're sort of perceived as, you know, maybe beyond what they should be looking at, because there's high-end, you know, sort of the idea that you have to be a rich person to be down there. It's not true at all. The people that are operating, I talked to a P-51 guy yesterday. He spends the entire day getting children up in his cockpit. He takes kids and gets them up in the cockpit just to give them. He said, if somebody had given me the dream when I was a kid, it would change my life.
Yeah.
So he's out there doing that. So we invite everybody to come up to the Warbird area on the north side and come give us a visit.
Well, that's fantastic. Now, you're going to be down at the Warbirds area all day. And what are you going to be doing besides smiling?
I'm going to go see what they have in Warbird Alley. They change out everything every day.
Okay.
So yesterday they had a Hellcat, a Wildcat, a beaver on floats. It was a Navy livery. I'm going to go talk to Bruce and the guy at the Ramp Rats at Warbird Alley, and I'm going to walk back there and see what they have on display right now.
There you go. And of course, for those of you who don't know about this, and I'm sure that there are some that don't, the tram ride.
The tram's great.
It is.
Yeah, that started off years ago with me and another guy named Dave Tinker pulling a trailer with a tractor. And Vic has turned it into Jurassic Park for airplanes.
It really is.
Yeah, it's
and
cool.
It's wonderful. You get the opportunity, definitely. Well, we've been talking to Dave Holmes from Warbirds, the Warbird Alley down there. My name is Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.